PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book. A reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in.
Hi. I'm standing near a wall that's very different from any wall you've ever seen. It's not part of a house or a school or any building. This remarkable wall is part of our country's past. It stands here in a park in Washington, D.C. The wall's official name is the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. It was built to honor soldiers who gave their lives in battle. They fought a war and died in a country called Vietnam. The wall stretches for nearly 500 feet. As you walk from end to end, you see that the wall is covered with names. There are 58,000 of them etched in shining black stone. Each one is the name of an American soldier. Visitors from every part of our country come here to remember friends and family members lost long ago. It's a chance to think about someone special you miss, or someone you never met, but wish you had.
Millions of people come to see the wall every year, and the story of one boy's visit is told in this book, The Wall, by Eve Bunting.
The Wall, by Eve Bunting. Illustrated by Ronald Himmler. Read by Jason Ruggiero. This is The Wall, my grandfather's wall. On it are the names of those killed in a war, long ago. Where's Grandpa's name, I ask? We have to find it, Dad says. He and I have come a long way for this, and we walk slowly, searching. The wall is black and shiny as a mirror. In it, I can see Dad and me. A man in a wheelchair stares at the names. He doesn't have legs. I'm looking, and he sees me looking and smiles. Hi, son. Hi. His hat is a soft, squashed green, and there are medals on it. His pant legs are folded back, and his shirt is a soldier's shirt. A woman, old as my grandma, is hugging a man, old as my grandpa would be. They're both crying. Shh, he whispers. Shh. Flowers and other things have been laid against the wall. There are little flags, an old teddy bear, and letters weighted with stones so they wouldn't blow away. Have you found Grandpa yet? I ask. No, Dad says. There are so many names. They're listed under the years when they were killed. I found 1967. That's when my grandpa died. Dad runs his fingers along the rows of print. And I do too. The letters march side by side, like rows of soldiers. They're nice and even. It's better printing than I can do. Dad is searching and searching. Albert A. Jensen. Charles Bronowski. His fingers stopped moving. Here he is. George Munoz. My grandpa, I ask? Dad nods. Your grandpa. My dad. He was just my age when he was killed. Dad's rubbing the name. Rubbing and rubbing as if he wants to wipe it away. Maybe he just wants to remember the way it feels. He lifts me, so I can touch it too. We've brought paper. Dad puts it over the letters and rubs on it with the pencil, so the paper goes dark and the letters show up white. You've got parts of other guys' names on there too, I tell him. Dad looks at the paper. Your grandpa won't mind. They were probably friends of his anyway, I say. Maybe so. A man and a boy walk past. Can we go to the river now, Grandpa? The boy asks. Yes. The man takes the boy's hand. But button your jacket. It's cold. My dad stands very still, with his head bent. A bunch of big girls in school uniforms come down the path. Their teacher is with them. They're all carrying more of those little flags. Is this the wall for the dead soldiers, Miss Gerber? One of them asks in a loud voice. The names are the names of the dead, but the wall is for all of us, the teacher says. They make a lot of noise and ask a lot of questions, and all the time, Dad just stands there with his head bowed, and I stand beside him. The girls stick their flags in the dirt in front of the wall and leave. Then, it's quiet again. Dad folds the paper that has Grandpa's name on it and puts it in his wallet. Then he slides out a picture of me, one of those yucky ones they took in school. Mom made me wear a tie. Dad puts the picture on the grass below Grandpa's name. It blows away. I get it and put it back and pile some little stones on top. My face smiles up at me from under the stones. Grandpa won't know who I am, I tell Dad. I think he will, Dad says. I move closer to him. It's sad here. He puts his hand on my shoulder. I know, but it's a place of honor. I'm proud that your grandfather's name is on this wall. I am too. I am. But I'd rather have my grandpa here, taking me to the river, telling me to button my jacket because it's cold. I'd rather have him here.
Now that I've seen it up close, I can understand why so many people want to come here. This wall has a powerful effect on you. But who could have come up with a design that would touch so many people? It must have been hard to figure out how to remember 58,000 soldiers. Well, an architect named Maya Len is the person who did it.
An architect is someone who designs places that really affect how people live. When I designed the memorial, the wall, I wanted to do something that responded to the individual. If you lost someone who died in that war, how would you feel? And how would you like to remember someone? For me, it's the name. When you say someone's name, everything about that person comes into being for you. And The fact that you're touching a name is something that is extremely special. I think it just happens to be the magic of what a name is and what a name can mean that people are responding to. One of the choices I made in the design was to not list the names alphabetically, but to list them in the order in which a person was killed, from the beginning of the war in 1959 to the end of the war in 1975. And by doing that, I hoped that anyone who served in the war would be able to find their time on the wall. One of the first sketches I ever made of the memorial, I still have, and it's very important to me, because in an instant, I got a feeling for what the piece would be. Something that was very, very horizontal, very low to the ground. As you go down, and as you approach the center, it's almost as if the names are rising up above you. The gesture was just to cut open the earth and polish the earth's edge. And when you polish black granite, it becomes absolutely reflective, which is something that you never get with any other stone. To me, it separates the world of light, our world that we're a part of, in a darker world, the world beyond the names that you can see into. And it's meant to make us understand we, the living, can remember, but we can't pass beyond the names. We can't pass into that other realm, the realm of the shadows, the realm of the dead. When you cut into black granite, it turns white. And so it becomes highly visible. I definitely chose the stone because of how easy it is to read it. And also, when it rains, the names disappear. And then as the granite dries, they reappear. So there's a sense of life. There's a sense of change in relation to the elements. There's something really magical about how, as a species, we really can communicate to one another, not necessarily just through talking, just through language, that there are other ways in which you can really understand one another. So you've got to make something that still will be understood in later generations. You're talking across time. So literally, a child 100 years from now who doesn't know anything about the war will just see the immense sacrifice, the 57,000 some names, and think about that time, think about these people. It doesn't really tell you what is right, what is wrong, what to think. It allows you a place where you don't necessarily glorify war, but you do honestly remember and honor the people.
The names on Maya Lin's wall help us remember people who have served our country. Other artists have found their own ways of building walls that help us remember. One sculptor used faces instead of names. In a huge natural wall of stone, he carved a tribute to four famous Americans. Mount Rushmore lies among the craggy granite hills of South Dakota. There's nothing else like it in all the world. Carved right into the stone are the faces of four American presidents who represent the ideals on which our country was founded. George Washington, our first president, fought for liberty and democracy. Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence.
guaranteeing us all equality. Abraham Lincoln kept our nation together and defended our social freedom. And Theodore Roosevelt pioneered the conservation movement to protect and preserve our environment. These four men are bound together in a colossal sculpture on the face of Mount Rushmore. At first, the monument was just a dream. It was made a reality by Gutzon Borglum. Borglum started by building small-scale models. He perfected a technique of measuring exact amounts of dynamite to blast away precise amounts of stone. This is the way 90% of the sculpture was carved. Holes were drilled to hold the dynamite. Special scaffolding and harnesses were built for Borglum and his workers. And after the blasting was done, the granite was smoothed and buffed. From the moment the sculpture was finished in October 1941, Mount Rushmore has inspired visitors and stands today as a giant tribute to our nation's heritage.
Liberty, when it begins to take root, is a plant of rapid growth. George Washington.
To waste, to destroy our natural resources, will result in undermining our prosperity. Theodore Roosevelt.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Thomas Jefferson.
Government of the people, by the people, for the people. Abraham Lincoln.
You know, you don't have to carve a mountain of stone to show how much you think of someone. Sometimes all it takes is a wall and a paintbrush.
This wall is a tribute to the great jazz musician, Louis Armstrong. He was a brilliant trumpet player and singer who performed all over the world. He was known for the exuberance and personality he packed into every song, and his unique musical style changed the face of jazz forever. People just loved him, and he was a great source of pride for African Americans. This is Juan Sanchez, an artist who's honoring Louis Armstrong with this giant painting, a mural.
When the saints go marching in, yes, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in.
What's really wonderful about this particular project is that it's my very first mural. Working on a wall this size is definitely very different because most of my paintings are done on canvas, and even though my canvas tends to be very big, it's not even a quarter as big as the size of this wall.
One of the biggest challenges Juan faced was how to paint a picture on a wall this big. First, he started out with a small drawing on a piece of paper. Then he created a grid on a clear plastic overlay that divided the drawing into squares. Square by square, Juan and his assistants copied the drawing onto the wall.
When you apply paint to canvas, it always bounces back and forth. It has a certain give, whereas working on a brick surface like this, it doesn't move back. Also, the texture of the brick is just a whole different consideration. The fact that the brick has a lot of bumps on the surface, that straight line, in order to look straight, had to be painted on not straight. Once I had an understanding that I had to play tricks in order to get a straight line, it became easier for me to manipulate the dimensions and the lines and the design of the mural.
Because so many people volunteered to work with Juan, this wall has special meaning to the community. It honors them as well as Louis Armstrong, a musician everybody admired. Painter uses a wall to tell one big story. But I know a place where every wall holds hundreds of tales. It's your library, and here are some books you can find there, but you don't have to take my word for it.
You may look at a wall and see an ordinary pile of bricks and stones, but not Tilly. This little mouse imagines the beautiful things beyond the wall. This is the story of her adventure. It is called Tilly and the Wall. Tilly is a curious mouse. She lives near a huge wall. Her friends don't pay much attention to the wall. But Tilly can't keep her eyes off it. She's always wondering, what's it doing there? What's on the other side? She tries to go over, around, and even through the wall. A creature even smaller than Tilly shows her the way. So remember, it doesn't matter how big you are or how smart you are. All you have to do is use your imagination. You never know what you might find.
My grandson, Lou, is a story about a little boy whose grandfather dies when he was only 2 years old. Lou remembers a lot about his grandfather. His grandfather had a big beard. It scratched Lou when he kissed him. Lou remembered his grandfather's big blue eyes. Lou's mother was surprised how Lou could picture his grandfather after so many years. This book reminded me about how I felt when my grandfather died. I really miss my own grandpa. My name is Matthew Stevenson, and the best thing about this book is it helps you to remember your grandparents every time you read it.
Hi, I'm Warren. Did you ever feel like laughing and crying both at the same time? Well, that's how this book made me feel, because it's sad and happy. It's called All Those Secrets of the World. Sometimes when someone goes away from you, you're afraid that they'll never come back. That's how Janie feels when her daddy goes off to war. She's very worried. 2 years pass, and finally, Janie's dad comes home. Her baby brother doesn't even recognize his dad. "Go away, you bad man," he says. But Janie's happy that he's safe and will never go away again. If you like books that are true to life, and have really beautiful endings, you'll love this one.
Many walls are built to separate people, but a few very special ones actually bring us together. All these places we've seen today are walls of honor. We may not know all the names and faces, but we should never forget these people. They made noble and lasting contributions to our world. I'm taking away memories of my visit to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial that I'll cherish forever. And I think we should leave something behind, too. It'll be our way of saying thank you.
I'll see you next time.
Today's Reading Rainbow books are The Wall by Eve Bunting, illustrated by Ronald Himmler, published by Clarion Books, a Houghton Mifflin Company imprint. Tilly and the Wall by Leo Leone, published by Alfred A. Knopf. My Grandson Lou by Charlotte Zolotow, pictures by William Penn Dubois, published by HarperCollins. All Those Secrets of the World by Jane Yolen, illustrated by Leslie Baker, published by Little Brown and Company.